Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. This is the last Shabbos Kodesh class of this year, Tav Shin Pei. The next time we learn Be'ezras Hashem will be the new year, Tav Shin Pei Aleph. So we have been zocha to accomplish, I hope, I think, I believe, a lot in this class since it began. It should be a tremendous chusim to the sponsor and her family. So I would be remiss, very remiss, if I did not begin by noting that today is 9/11. Even on the English calendar, it is a day of infamy, a day seared in our collective memory, a day of unspeakable horror. I am sure, like I do, that you vividly remember everything about that day, even though it was already 19 years ago. Vividly remember the details of the entire day. And interestingly, I looked up on the Hebrew converter, a Hebrew, you can go online and convert the English date and the Hebrew date. So this year, September 11th, 9/11, which is today, today's 22 Elul. The Yahrzeit of 9/11, 19 years ago, is 23 Elul. So sometimes it could be a month apart, sometimes it could be a few weeks apart. Today is the English date, 9/11, and tonight, Shabbos, tomorrow, 23 Elul, is the actual Yahrzeit of 9/11. So I thought it would be very appropriate. I want to just begin by reading an article from the, I copied and pasted into a document. I don't know if you prefer that I screen share so you can read the article along with me, or I read it to you. What do you prefer? You want me to just read it to you? Just read it to you. You prefer that I screen share so you could see along? It's an article. I'm just going to start to read it, and you'll tell me if you could still hear me, even though, and see me, even though I'm going to a, can you see me when I pull up the article? Could you still see me? Yes, okay. This was an article, actually, that was published. I copied and pasted it into my own document that was published in the Wall Street Journal. I'll give you the reference. The Wall Street Journal, October 11th, 2001, okay? And I have it as a document on my computer. So this was published a month later. Shimmy Beagleisen, I'm just going to read it to you. Shimmy, it speaks for itself. Shimmy Beagleisen phoned his wife from his office at money management firm Fiduciary Trust International Inc. There's been an explosion next door, the 42-year-old vice president said. 19 years ago, I thought 42 wasn't so young. There's been an explosion next door, the 42-year-old vice president said. But don't worry, I'm okay, he said to his wife. A few minutes later, Mr. Beagleisen grabbed his black canvas bag, walked past a cluster of cubicles, and headed towards the stairwell. But when he reached the doorway, a step behind a project manager who worked for him, he stopped. He leaned his big body against the open metal door. He rummaged through his bag. Whatever you're looking for, the manager said. It's not important. Please come, she said to Mr. Beagleisen, and she started down the stairs. The word fiduciary filled the caller ID panel on the kitchen phone in the Beagleisen home in the Flapper section of Brooklyn. Miriam Beagleisen knew it was her husband calling again from his office. I love you, he told her. He had not made it to the stairs when the wings of the second jet ripped diagonally through the south tower, just four floors below Mr. Beagleisen's cubicle. Fire engulfed the tower stairwells. He was trapped. Mrs. Beagleisen handed the phone to David Langer, a friend who volunteered for an ambulance service. This is in the Wall Street Journal, obviously Hatzalah, who had run over when he heard ambulances had been dispatched to the towers. David, Mr. Beagleisen told his friend on the phone, take care of Miriam. Take care of my children. He was 42. Mr. Langer heard a recording in the background saying over and over, the building is secure. People should stay put. A Port Authority spokesman says we are not aware of any recording announcement made by building management, but David Langer reports that he heard this over and over. Mr. Beagleisen continued on the phone, David, I'm not coming out of this. Mr. Langer connected Mr. Beagleisen to Gary Gelbfish, a vascular surgeon and friend who was watching the towers burn on TV. Mr. Beagleisen told the doctor, I'm having difficulty breathing. Black smoke was filling the room. You've got to do two things, said the doctor. Stay low to the ground. Do you have a towel or a rag? Wet it with water and put it over your mouth. Mr. Beagleisen walked past three cubicles to the water cooler. He wet the towel. He raised it to his mouth. Then he walked back to his desk. He lay down on the slate blue carpet in his black suede shoes, black pants, Oxford shirt, and black felt yarmulke. Mr. Beeglein was a devoted follower of the Belzer Rebbe. "Is there a sprinkler?" Dr. Gelfish asked over the phone. Mr. Beeglein looked up to the ceiling but couldn't see through the smoke. He and five colleagues were trapped. They decided to try to get to the roof. He hung up the phone. The phone rang again in the Beeglein home. Again, fiduciary flashed on the display. The intense heat had kept Shimmy Beeglein from reaching the roof. "We could not even get into the hallway," he said into the phone. The Beeglein home was filled with worried friends and neighbors. Women clustered in the living room, trying to calm Mrs. Beeglein. Men paced in the kitchen, taking turns speaking to Shimmy on the phone. One person called 911. They waited. Again, Mr. Beeglein tried to reach the roof. He did not make it. At 9:45, he phoned home again. He told one of his friends, "Promise me you will look after Miriam. Tell Miriam I love her." Lying on the floor beneath photographs of his five children atop the filing cabinet, he now spoke of them. He gave instructions for handling his finances. He and his 19-year-old son Mordechai were supposed to travel in 5 days to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, it says, to spend the Jewish New Year. It was 23 Elul, which is tomorrow, tonight, tomorrow. They were supposed to spend the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, with the Belzer Hasidim and meet the Belzer Rebbe. Mr. Beeglein made the trip every few years on Rosh Hashanah. Most inspiring to him was the second night of the holiday, when the Rebbe, the Belzer Rebbe, would read aloud the 24th Psalm, Kapitel Chof Dalet. Now, in a voice hoarse with smoke, Mr. Beeglein began to recite that psalm in Hebrew over the phone. The friend on the phone began to shake. Of David, a psalm, I'm reading from the article. "The Lord is the earth and its the Lord's is the earth and its fullness." Lasha Maratum Loa. He handed the phone to another friend who urged Mr. Beeglein, "Break a window. Get some air. Try to get to the roof." He called out to a colleague, "Let's go, let's break the window." At 9:59, the two men hauled the filing cabinet to the window. "I'm looking out the window now," he shouted into the phone, and then he screamed, "Oh God," and the line went dead. 7 days after her husband's phone line went dead, Mrs. Beeglein stood in the synagogue on Rosh Hashanah, murmuring a prayer about God and fate. "How many will pass from earth, Mi Avrun? And how many will be created, Mi Bareyun, Terminus Santokef, Mi Yechra," the article obviously doesn't have the Hebrew, "who will live and who will die, Mi Bamayim, Mi Ba'esh, who by water, who by fire." By tradition, she and her family would have begun their Shiva, the week-long mourning for her husband the day after his death, but no body had been found. For days, they held on to hope that perhaps Shimi was alive. Now Shumi's father decided they were ready to mourn, but it had to be established that Mrs. Beeglein was not an aguna. In Jewish law, an aguna is a woman who is separated from her husband and cannot remarry. With no trace of a body, a rabbinic court must rule whether death can be assumed. Minutes after Rosh Hashanah ended, Mr. Beeglein's father phoned Ephraim Fischel Hirschowitz in Brooklyn. The 76-year-old rabbi said he would convene with two other rabbis to decide the case. He asked that the men who spoke to Mr. Beeglein, so witnesses, the day he disappeared, come to the rabbi's home. He also wanted a tape of the 911 call. Three rabbis and six of Shimi Beeglein's friends gathered at the home of Rabbi Hirschowitz on September 20th. It was Tzom Gedalia. It says the fast of Gedalia. So the men sat down at the dining room table with empty stomachs. The rabbis wore their long earlocks, long black coats, wide-brimmed velvet hats. One of them opened a copy of the Yiddish newspaper to a sequence of photographs of the tower's end. In Yiddish, they discussed the logistics of the case, the floors where the plane hit, how and when the buildings fell, the intensity of the fire, where Mr. Beeglein lay, what he said on the phone. They spoke to Mr. Beeglein's friends about that final phone call. They asked the friends to wait outside. After 10 minutes of deliberation, with caller ID repeatedly placing Mr. Beeglein at the fiduciary office on the day of 9/11, and that the buildings fell at the precise moment when Mr. Beeglein screamed into the phone, along with his relationship with the Belzer Rebbe that attested to his fine character, his death could be assumed. Mrs. Beeglein was not an aguna, a veilless mourning could begin. One of the rabbis went to the Beglisen home. He took a razor from his pocket. He made cuts in the clothing of the male mourners. On the left for Mr. Beglisen's three sons, on the right for his brother and father. Mrs. Beglisen, standing by the kitchen, said, "Is the psak final?" "It's over," she thought. "Shimi is not coming back." An Orthodox Jewish woman came to the Beglisen home on Sunday, September 23rd, the fourth day of Shiva. Mrs. Beglisen sat on a low, hard chair. The visitor said to her, "My husband was also there." Mrs. Beglisen understood that this woman was not even yet allowed to mourn. This woman was still in Aguna. "It's not something I'm thinking of, remarriage," she said, her covered hair and engagement ring evidence of her 20 years of marriage. "When you live with only one person, it's all you know." Shimi Beglisen's family had almost finished mourning when the phone rang. On the line was the Belzer Rebbe, Yisachar Dov Rokiach, calling from Jerusalem. Mr. Beglisen's wife, five children, parents, brother, and sister scurried upstairs to a closed room. They encircled the phone. They put it on speaker. The 53-year-old Rebbe spoke quietly in Yiddish. He asked for the men and boys one by one. He recited to each the Hebrew verse traditionally spoken to mourners. "May the Almighty console you amongst the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim." Finally, the Rebbe said, there are no words. A diatone reverberated in the room as the family echoed over and over, "There are no words. There are no words." I think that it would be appropriate to say together Kapitel Chof Dalet. Today is for those who join late, everybody knows today is 9/11. Tomorrow is actually the Hebrew Yahrzeit. Tomorrow is 23 Elul. So I'm going to put on my screen. I prepared it. Can you see? Someone who I could see, not yet. So this was really some of the last words that Shimi Beglisen said. And one second. When you think of a Jew's commitment to the Ribono Shel Olam, that in a person's last moments, and he clearly knew he was not coming out, the faith, we've been speaking the past few classes about Avraham Avinu recognizing the Creator, the faith of a Jew, the unshakable faith, should really inspire us all and remind us that we have a very important tafkid. We are all posed on the precipice of Yom Hadin. Something we don't think about enough, even as we go through all the motions of Avodas Hashem, what it really means to be standing at the edge of the cliff on Yom Hadin. So let us say this together. One sec, I just need to get a tissue, okay? 1 minute. Oh, I have one in my pocket. Perfect. Oh, I didn't have to go anywhere. I forgot I had one. Excuse me. Okay, and think of these words that he was saying. These, again, were the words recited by the Belzer Rebbe, the second night of Rosh Hashanah. And just think of what we are saying. A psalm to David. The God is the earth and its fullness, and the inhabitants and all who dwell in it. He is established on the seas, established on the rivers. Who will ascend the mount of God? Who will ascend to his holy place? One who is of clean palms and a pure heart. L'David mizmar l'adonai ha'aretz umlo'a tevel v'yoshveva ki hu al yamim yasada v'al nehoros yichonanea mi ya'ale bahar adonai umi yakum b'makum kodsho. Niki kapayim uvar levav, asher lo nasa l'shav nafshi v'lo nishba l'mirma. Yisa bracha me'es Adonai utzedakam Elohe yishar. Zer dor drashav, mivakshe panecha Yaakov Sela. Su'u sha'ari mashechem v'hinasu pischei olam. V'yavo melech hakavod. Miza melech hakavod. Adonai izuz v'gibor. Adonai gibor mechama. Su'ush ari mashechem usu pischei olam. V'yavo melech hakavod. Mihu za melech hakavod. Adonai tzva'os. Hu melech hakavod sala. So, teinish osam tzvar b'tzvar achayim. Shemim kom damam. Avai we should merit the ultimate ge'ula ha'asida. Azimali so pinu l'shoneinu rina. Should be immediately and in our days. Let us move to our Sefer. So just a word, someone reached out to me, someone who listens to the Shir online, and she said, why are you talking about Avraham Avinu in your Shabbos Kodesh Shir, etc.? Isn't it about Shabbos anymore? So I understand the question, but I said I follow the Sefer. So if Rav Pinchas is talking about Avraham Avinu and Amuva, and Yitzchak and Pacha, then that's what we're going to talk about. Rav Shimshon Pinchas brings up many topics in his Svarim. It's a whole Sefer on Shabbos Kodesh, but in all of these 322 pages, Baruch Hashem, obviously he's going to bring in other topics as well. So I follow the lead of the Sefer. So if the Sefer is speaking about Aram and Amuna, today we're going to be speaking about Yira, and that is what we are going to be speaking about. But all of our learning enhances all of our Avodas Hashem. If a person learns Torah and allows that Torah to infuse into their very souls, and they will become a changed person. And then, of course, Shabbos will be changed as well. So we are on page 29, if you happen to have the Sefer. But again, I read everything, and I will elaborate as well. One second, I'm sorry, excuse me. Okay. So we are on the third paragraph on page 29. Fear of Hashem. Yerushalayim. How is it possible not to fear Hashem? Let us imagine a man leaning on the counter of a snack bar, buying himself a drink. Across the street, what is the name of the Sefer we're learning? Sorry. Oh, thank you for asking. Sorry. Oh, okay. It's called Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you. I'm sorry. Okay, we learn of Shimshon Pinchas. It's called Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, making the most of Shabbos, inspiring insights into the meaning and purpose of Shabbos. Okay. Fear of Hashem. How is it possible not to fear Hashem? Let us imagine a man leaning on the counter of a snack bar, buying himself a drink. Across the street is a mental institution. A patient breaks out of the mental institution and is written all over his face that he is totally mad. His eyes are bulging. His mouth is drooling. He runs forward and he shrieks, "Don't drink that. It's poison." At that moment, the men in white coats come. They catch him. They carry him back inside. Now, does this man at the snack bar have any reason to think that his drink is poison? No, because the person from the mental institution who escaped told him it's poison. But for some reason, he all of a sudden does not want to drink that drink. Would you want to drink the drink if somebody, even a person who's not mentally well, stable, told you it's poison? Are you going to drink the drink? No, you're not going to drink the drink. No, Rav Shimshon Pinchas says for some reason he suddenly does not feel like drinking the drink. If the person has any doubt, even if it's a fraction of a doubt, where Pinchas says, even one in a million, that drink has been poisoned, he's not going to drink it. He wants to verify absolutely, and as soon as someone plants that seed of doubt in his mind, even if it's a tiny fraction of a fraction, he won't drink it. Yet when it comes to the existence of Gehenna's punishment, there is no doubt. We all believe in the world to come. There is Gan Eden, there is Gehenna. We all know. If so, how is it possible not to fear Hashem? So Rav Shimshon Pinchas is saying, how could a person not have, just how could you not have a Muna? We spent 2 classes talking about Avraham. Oh, I must tell you something. I'm so happy I just said that. I must tell you something. Remember we spent 2 classes learning, oh my gosh, listen to this, about Avraham Avinu. We went through Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim in the introduction, the biography of Avraham Avinu. He would look at the sun and the moon and the stars, and he would look up and he would say, how is it possible that this whole world, this whole galgal, this whole circle exists and there's no one who created it? We spent two classes learning through that piece. And through seeing the natural world, Avraham Avinu came to recognize that there is a creator. If you recall, Rav Shimshon Pinchas said, you look at your ceiling and you see a light bulb and you don't think to yourself, oh, the light bulb got there for nothing. Somebody put that light bulb there. And Avraham Avinu came to recognize Hashem by looking at the universe. So my daughter told me, true story, the other week or month, she was outside recently, like over the summer. She was outside with my nephew who just turned 4 last week or 2 weeks ago. So he was almost 4, little boy. And she was outside with him, and the sky was very beautiful. I don't know, the pink, the cloud, she said it was a very beautiful sky. And she said to my nephew, Yehuda, look at the sky, isn't it pretty? She's a senior Kanayinahar, and he's a little boy. And he looked at her with all the innocence of a 3-year-old child. And he said to her, Tamar, somebody went up to the sky and did that. Somebody went up to the sky and made that. Imagine, we know that Avraham Avinu first started discovering, if you will, questioning the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam when he was 3 years old. And this little child looks up at the heavens and he said exactly what Pinchas teaches. How is it possible that all this exists and there is no one who created? That's a quote. She said she actually wanted to tell her teacher of last year, because when they were learning, I don't know if it was Amunah, which class it was in TMM, the teacher explained to the girls that creation is proof of creator. Which is exactly what Pinchas says in our Sefer. If you see a light bulb in the ceiling, it's proof that someone screwed in the light bulb, but didn't get there by itself. Creation is proof of creator. And that's what my nephew said to her, Tamar, someone went up to the sky and did that. Someone went up to the sky and made that. So even a young child recognizes that that did not get there by itself. I mean, that's an unbelievably powerful statement. That's exactly what the Rambam writes about Avraham Avinu. It's mind-blowing that he said that. Really, it's mind-blowing. If you miss those two classes, you could catch them on YU Torah. So creation proves there's a creator. So how is it possible to not believe in God? Now Rav Shimshon Pinchas says the same thing. How is it possible to not fear the Ribbono Shel Olam? We all know that there's a Gehenna, and even though you were never there, that the Masorah tells us that, the Rabbanim tells us, so how could you not have Yiras Shamayim? You're going to be afraid of that drink. We'll have those just a mashal because someone told you, and even though you can't even verify that, it's not a strong Masorah from Moshe to Sinai, but as soon as someone tells you something, so now you're afraid of the drink. So if we know that there is ultimate punishment and reward, Schar and Onesh, again, ties into the Yom Hadin. The Sefer HaChaim and the Sefer HaMavis Psucha Nefanav. The book of life and the book of death is open before the Ribbono Shel Olam. We all believe this. So how could a person not act with Yiras Shamayim? How could a person not revere the Almighty? So Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, when it comes to the existence of Gehenna's punishment, bottom of page 29, there isn't any doubt. We all believe in Olam Haba. It is one of the foundations of our faith. There is Gan Eden. There is Gehenna. We all know, if possible, if we all believe that, how is it possible not to fear Hashem? So I'm now going to quote from the Sefer Orchos Yashar. The Sefer Orchos Yashar is the classic work of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. So it has different topics and different chapters. I am skipping to the chapter opening, I should say, to the chapter Perek Yud Beis. Right? Perek Yud Beis is Yiras Shamayim, which is Rav Shimshon Pinchas is now talking about. So again, I think I explained why we are talking about these seemingly divergent topics, okay? Not to confuse anybody, but this is what the Sefer is speaking about. So this is what we're going to speak about. Yiras Shamayim. It means to revere, to be aware, to see God. Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, to Dvarim Perichav Hei by Mechames Amalek, Zichir Samalek points out that Yiras Shamayim and Yirei Shamayim is the same word. One who sees God, ani ro'e etchen, I see you, is the same word as revere, Reish Aleph, Yod Reish Aleph. To see and to revere in Hebrew are the same. Because if Amshar Fal Hirsch points out, Amalek was lo yarei Elohim, they did not fear God because they didn't see God. A person must perceive the Almighty in their lives in order to revere the Almighty. Okay, so I'm quoting from Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. Okay, Tanya Bereish Maseches Atzilus. It says in the Brice in the beginning of Maseches Atzilus, Eliyahu ben Yosef Pasach, Eliyahu ben Yosef teaches, Kesiv, the Pasach said, Sod Hashem Lireyav, the secret of God is to those who fear him, Viriso Lahodiam, and his covenant he makes known to them, the bris of Hashem he makes known to those who fear him, Sod Hashem Lireyav, the secret of God is to those who fear him, Meha Ulpini, Meha Olipna. From here we learn, from the word Olpan. She'ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Megales Sodav Ki'im L'Re'av. Hashem does not reveal his secrets only to those who revere him, only to those who have fear of God. She'afilu Adam Yisrael Lamad Mikra. Even if a person from Israel learns Chumash, Mishnah, Talmud, Gemara, Agada, Toseftos, the Ainbo Yira, even if a person learns all parts of Torah, but he does not have awe or reverence of Shamayim, lechinam, tzalal b'mayim adirim. He delved into the mighty waters for no purpose. V'chol ma shatarach lechinam tarach. And everything that a person worked on, he was matriach, he sweated, he strove to understand the Chumash and the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Agadata and the Toseftos, but if he is not a Yiras Shamayim, And it's as if he is nothing, and he delved into the waters for no purpose, because he has worked for no reason. I'm not reading the whole parak to you, by the way. It is lengthy. I just went through it and chose certain excerpts to share with you on this topic of how could a person, as of Shimshon Pinchas, not revere the Almighty. Continuing, so I skipped. If you would look, I know I'm skipping, but I'm skipping. Amar Rava, Rava says, B'shah shemachnisin adam ladin. This, by the way, is a Gemara from Masechah Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph. The Gemara says in Shabbos 31a that when we get up to Din, we will be asked six questions. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky is now quoting this piece of Gemara. I'm going to tell you what the six questions are. B'shah shemachnisin adam ledin, when they bring a person up to the Olam HaEmes for the ultimate judgment, Omrim lo, they ask him six questions. First of all, Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Did you conduct your business dealings faithfully? Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time? Did you have set times to learn Torah? Asakta b'piria urivya. Were you osek? Were you busy? Did you try your best to fulfill the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply? Tzipisa Yeshua, did you long for the redemption? Do you really want the Yeshua? Of Mordechai Kamenetsky in his Parsha Parables tells over a humorous but sad vignette. There was a farmer and his wife, and they worked so hard. It was the Middle Ages, and they had to give most of their earnings to the landowner. They had one cow that made milk, and they had one chicken that laid eggs. It was a life of deprivation and suffering. And one day, the husband comes home from the market, and he looks very distressed. And the dear wife says, "Husband, what's wrong? You look so distressed." So the husband says, "Oi, they say in the market, Mashiach's coming, and he'll take us all out of this land back to the land of Israel. Who will watch over our home? Who will watch over the cow and milk it? Who will collect the eggs from the chicken? What will we do?" So the good wife was steeped in faith in the Almighty. And she said, "My dear husband, the Lord saved us from Amalek. The Lord saved us from Pharaoh. The Lord saved us from Haman. Certainly the Lord will save us from this Mashiach too." And it's a little bit funny, but it's a lot sad. And that's the story that Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over. One of the questions we're going to be asked is, Tzipisa LeYeshua, do we really want to even get out of here? Is it really so bad for us? Do we really want Mashiach to come? And it's not Michal, it's telling you this. The Gemara says it's we're going to be asked in the Olam HaEmes. So of course, everyone thinks they're Mitzapa LeYeshua. If everyone was Mitzapa LeYeshua, then the Gemara wouldn't tell you that's one of the questions they're going to be asked in the Olam HaEmes. Pilpalta b'chachma, did you delve into the pilpul of wisdom, the dialectics of wisdom? And finally, Hevanta Davar Mitoch Devar. Did you understand one thing from another? In other words, did you delve deeply into Torah and you were able to make inferences? However, the Gemara says, I'm still quoting from Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, Vafilu Hachi, even if you can answer yes to all of those questions, E Yiras Hashem Hi Otsro, the fear of God is his treasure house. In, you will be judged favorably if you can answer yes to all six questions, and you're a Yerushalayim. Elo, if you are not a Yerushalayim, even if you answer yes to all six questions, lo, you will not be judged favorably. So it's an absolute prerequisite. And what brings to mind, of course, is Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. We say it every morning right before the Birkas HaShachar. At least in my sur, I say it every morning right before the Birkas HaShachar. Reishis Chachma, the beginning of wisdom, is Yiras Hashem. So you could have all kinds of wisdom. But if you're not a Yerushalayim, if you're not someone who perceives God in your life, then you won't be judged favorably. Mashallah Adam. It is a parable to a man, continuing with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Sha'amar lishlucho. He says to his servant, his messenger, Ha'aleli kor chitin la'aliya. Bring me a kor of wheat up to the attic, a certain measurement. Okay. The footnote says a kor and a kav are volume measurements. Bring a kor of wheat up to the attic. Halach v'halalo. So the servant went and he put a kor of wheat up in the attic. Amarlo. So the master said, a raftali behen kav chomton mishamer esaperos melehis mi lehaslia. Did you mix in with it a kav of chomton to prevent the wheat from rotting? The footnote explains, chomton is a type of earth with a high salt content. We know that salt is a preservative. So the master said, you took the wheat up to the attic, but did you mix in a measurement of chomton to prevent the wheat from rotting? Amar lo lav. So the servant says, no, I didn't. Amar lo. So the master says, mutav im lo ha'alesa. It would have been better that you not took it up to the attic at all. Why? Kach im ein bo yirashamayim mutav shelo hayalomid. If a person is not a yirashamayim, it's rather that he shouldn't learn at all because the wheat's just going to rot. What's the name? So you're learning is for naught. It would be better, Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes, L'chinam tzalal b'mayim adrim. You dove for nothing into the churning waters. You're going to end up drowning if you don't have your shamayim. Then all the work that you did is not going to help you at all. All that learning that you did, and the wheat's just going to rot. Now, the next part, just a short excerpt, continuing in the Sefer, he quotes the Gemara, but it's in Aramaic. So instead of reading the Aramaic and translating it to you, I'm just reading. It's a very nice Sefer. It's put up by Artsko Masora. The top is the text of Chaim Kanievsky's Archos Yashar, and the bottom has English and footnotes. So since this next excerpt that I want to share is in Aramaic, I'm just going to read you the English. Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Elazar were sitting together, and Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha walked by. One of the sages said to the other, "Let us stand up before him. He is a man who fears sin." The other sage said, "Let's stand up before him. He is a Torah scholar." But the first sage said, "I told you he's a man who fears sin. You are answering he's a Torah scholar." Rashi explains, Klomar, this is in Hebrew, "Ata me'atita b'shivcho." You diminish his honor and his praise. The opinion of the first sage that we should stand up for Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha because he's a Yerushamayim is greater than the praise of the second sage who said we should stand up for him because he knows a lot of Torah. So it is a prerequisite. It's very nice to know a lot of Torah, but it's a greater praise to say that person is a Yerushamayim because if a person is a Yerushamayim, their Torah will be for the purpose of serving God. If the person is not a Yerushamayim, their Torah will be for the purpose of serving or aggrandizing themselves, not for serving the Ribono Shel Olam. Continuing with a few more excerpts from the Sefer. Va'amru, the Medrash says in Kohalas Rabbah, Gedola hi hayira, how great is reverence of heaven, shashamayim va'aretz lo nivru ela b'schus hayira. The whole world, we just read Kapitul Chav Dalet of Tehillim together, l'Hashem ha'aretz umlo'ah. Tevel v'yoshveba, to God is the earth and its fullness, its inhabitants and all who dwell in it. Shamayim v'aretz lo nivru ela b'schus hayira. The whole purpose of God creating the heaven and the earth, Avram Avinu looked up to the heaven and the earth and he said, it's not possible. And remember, we learned, Avram Avinu worshipped along with them. If you remember, we saw it. Go look up. If you missed those classes, you could either listen on YHR. Go look up the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Odei Kachavim. His father was an idol worshipper. His mother was an idol worshipper. And Avram worshipped along with them. It's not my Lashon. That's what the Rambam says. But Avram's mind was not at ease because he looked up and he said, how is this possible? There are stars. And imagine before light pollution and ozone depletion, what the stars really looked like. And Avram understood that creation indicates creator. So the Medrash Klaus Rabbah says, everything that was created, Shamayim Va'aretz, Lo Nivru Ela B'Schus Hayira. It was created for that person who reveres and who fears the Almighty. The giant of a person who, under such conditions, we should never be so tested, has the tranquility of mind and the Yira Shemayim, the fear and reverence from seeing God, to be able to recite Kapitul Chav Dalet, Mi'ala Ba'al Shem, Mi'akum B'makum Kacho. We have to live for the purpose of seeing God, perceiving God, revering God, and then serving God. Va'amru, furthermore, another medrash, Ein lecha davar chaviv mimishuhu misyari min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no one as precious as he who has fear of the Almighty. You know, in the biography, I don't have it in front of me, it's upstairs on the bookshelf, but a malach in our midst. If I would have thought of it, I would have brought it downstairs with me in time for Shir. But the biography of Malach in our midst, which is the biography of Rav Moshe Tursky, Hashem Yinkom Damo. Moshe Tursky was a Gaon Olam from Yeshivas Toras Moshe. He was one of the Harnof Kedoshim. He was killed in the Harnof massacre. So I think it's Chanoch Teller who relates the story in the biography, definitely in there, that one day there was a terrible rainstorm. And I think it was Chanoch Teller, and he was walking down the street, and he saw Rav Moshe Tursky standing in the middle of the street, not moving. And how do you pronounce it? Rivulets? Am I saying the word right? Rivulets of water? Yeah, am I saying the word right? Yes? Okay. One says, I don't know. One says, yes, I think so. Rivulets of water streaming down the streets in Yerushalayim. Think of the rainy season in a good year, and there was tons of water. And Rav Moshe Tursky was standing in place and not moving. And Chanoch Teller realized he wasn't moving because he wasn't sure what to do about his socks. Because every time he would take a step and walk, he would actually be squeezing water out of his socks. And he was standing in place debating, self-debating with himself, how was he able to move? And the story goes that a couple of hours later, he walked by, I think it was Chanoch Teller, it's in the biography, and he was still standing there, unsure of how to be able to walk. This is a madriga that I don't know if my whole life I'll ever be on such a madriga, but we have to understand that someone who really sees the Almighty Shavisi Hashem the Nightly Shamiki Mini Bal Amot really has a fear of Shamayim and understands that all that we're doing here is meant to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the man just said a good aspiracious paraklam gimel ain the chadavar chaviv mishu misyar mina kodesh baruch hu. There is nothing more precious than he who fears the Almighty. Mishu hu ashir v'chacham uben da'as, one who is wealthy and wise and a man of wisdom. The ein biyado yirashchet, and he does not have in his hand yirashamayim. Ein biyado klum. It's like he has nothing. Va'amru, and the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, call Adam sheyesh bo yirashamayim dvar rav nishmaim. Anyone who is yirashamayim, his words are heard. Va'amru, and further, the Gemara says in Brachos, la'olam yihe Adam arum biyira. What Rav Chaim Kanievsky does in the Sefer Orchos Yashar, which art school in this fashion has made accessible to everybody. It's very, very nice. But what the Gadol HaDor has done is, according to topic, he brings us many proofs from different places throughout Torah and Chazal to highlight the teaching. So he has a chapter on MS, a chapter on Bittul Torah, a chapter on Kedesh Chassadim, a chapter on Dan Lekav Zchus. I'm sharing with you the chapter of Yerushalayim, and he brings us many sources from all over Torah, Baruch Shebichtav and Shebal Peh, as well as his own insights to teach us the importance of this topic. So call Adam, what I just read that already. So the Gemara says, La'olam yehe Adam arum biyira. A person should always be, arum usually means naked, but arum also means cunning. He should be cunning in the fear of God. What does that mean? He should be cunning in the fear of God. So the footnote explains he should devise strategies to overcome the Yetzer Hara and thereby achieve Yerushalayim. I'll tell you a story that happened to me yesterday. You might think I'm crazy. Could be you'll think I'm crazy. Funny that I'm sharing this, but okay. I think it relates to what we're talking about. Because I just pointed out that a person should always be cunning in the fear of God. That's the Gemara Maseches Brachos Yud Zayin. A person should devise strategies to overcome the Yetzer Hara and thereby achieve Yerushalayim. So yesterday it was raining, talking about rivulets of water. And I remember the beginning of the day was pouring. I was driving carpool, actually. I was driving carpool and it was pouring rain. Visibility was very bad. Okay. And Mishpacha magazine comes Thursday morning. So when my husband went to Shachris, he threw it from the driveway onto the porch. And I saw it was on the porch and I didn't bring it inside. One could I had to take to the bus, other could I had to drive carpool. I didn't sleep well the night before, so that already meant that the Yetzer Hara could, you know, make inroads because I was very, very tired. Had a very busy day, Baruch Hashem. And by the time I took a mishpacha, the water, even though it was under the covered porch, had seeped through. So the family table, Taste of Tishrei cookbook that came in this week's edition was all ruined. So the main edition, mishpacha was fine, family first was fine, kids was fine, but the cookbook was all ruined. So I was very annoyed at myself. Very. I was very aggravated. I was annoyed. I said, why didn't I take it in earlier? Now it's all wet. And I knew this was going to happen. I should take it. And then I said, I looked on the cover and it said, $7. We have a subscription. And I said, Michal, stop right now. This is your Yetzer Hara. He's making you very upset over $7. Go to the store and buy a new mishpacha. If you must have the cookbook, which by the way, I don't use cookbooks so much. I don't really end up even making the recipes, but I like to read it and the kids like to read it. So I said, fine. You really want the cookbook? $7. Hashem doesn't care about $7. Hashem couldn't afford $7. Stop being upset because it's a Yetzer Hara right now and go to Gourmet Glaf to your doctor's appointment and buy a new mishpacha. And that's what I did. And you know, Baruch Hashem, as soon as I realized that it was a Yetzer Hara, you have to be Arum, la'olam yehe Adam, Arum b'yira. You have to recognize what's the Yetzer Tov, what's the Yetzer Hara, what's Yerushalayim, and what is not Yerushalayim. So you have to be cunning. V'hanachash haya arum mikol chayis ha'sadar sha'asa Hashem Elokim. That nachash, the serpent, was more cunning than all the beasts of the field. So interestingly, someone private messaged to say the same thing happened to her. So I wonder if you went to buy new mishpacha or if you didn't care. If you didn't care, so you didn't care. But I was getting very upset at myself about it. Then I realized this is totally my Yetzer Hara. The whole thing cost $7. In the Olam HaEmes, you're not going to ask me about the $7. You're only going to ask me about my Midos. I wasn't angry at anyone else, but I shouldn't have been angry at myself either. Who cares? Hashem doesn't care if the Mishpacha magazine was wet. You only put me in the situation to test me about how I would react. So if the Nachash is cunning, if the Yetzer Hara is more cunning than all beast of the field, the Nachash is Arum. Mar says in Brachos, you have to be Arum. La'olam yehir Adam Arum b'yira. If he's cunning, you have to be cunning. Because if his tactic is cunning, you have to know how to be cunning to fight him. How? You have to be cunning in Yirah Shamayim. Va'armu. So the person who messaged that, I'm wondering if you went to buy a new Mishpacha or not. So let's just finish up here what I wanted to continue. A few more quotes from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Excuse me. Va'armu. Furthermore, the Gemara says in Brachos, Hakol b'yidei shamayim chutz mi'yirah shamayim. Famous. Ma'al shamal kachashu am li'mach. Parshas Ekev, I think it's Devarim Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Beis. Hakol b'yidei shamayim chutz mi'yirah shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven. So if the Mishpacha got wet, it's in the hands of heaven. Of course, I have the Bechira. But if it happened, then Hashem wanted to happen to put me in such a situation. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear or the seeing. See heaven and then fear heaven. But Amru, Gemar says in Perkei Avos, Kol she'yiras cheto kodemes l'chachmaso, chachmaso miskayemes. Anyone whose fear of sin precedes his wisdom will last. But the Mishnah continues, anyone whose fear of sin does not precede his wisdom will not last. So we see from all these sources, and there's much more. This is a much lengthier chapter than the excerpts that I chose to quote you to. You see how important it is for a person to be a Yira Shemayim, an Eved Hashem. Va'amru, im ein Yira ein Chachma. And the Mishnah says further, im ein Yira, if a person does not have reverence of heaven, ein Chachma, there's no wisdom. Va'amru, and furthermore, Medrash Bamidbar Rabba, ein v'chol hamidos gado miyira va'anava. There is nothing greater amongst the midos, amongst a person's character traits. By the way, I learned it from Rav Pam, not in person, in a sefer. Rav Pam teaches, a midos literally means a measure. A midos is measurements. Midah is a measure. Because you can tell what a person is, you can measure a person according to their midos. Nothing is an accident in Lashon HaKodesh. The reason that character traits and midos is two different things. Midos means measurement. Character traits are character traits. So why do you call your character traits a midah? Because your palm teaches you measure a person. The integrity of a person, the worth of a person, the level of a person, the kindness of a person, they are measured. A measure of a man is according to their character traits. Ein b'chol hamidos gadol miyira va'anava. Amongst all midos, there is nothing greater than yira shamayim, yira shei, ananava, anivus, humility. Two more. Va'armu, kol misha misyare osi va'ose divrei Torah, kol ha'chachma v'chol ha'tar b'liba. Dvar Rabba. Hashem says, kol misha misyare osi, anyone who fears me, va'ose divrei Torah, and is involved in divrei Torah, kol ha'chachma v'chol ha'tar b'liba. Hashem says that I give key that anyone who fears me and is ose, learns words of Torah, all the wisdom and all the Torah will be kept and integrated into his heart. Va'amru, and furthermore, chachem v'yirei chet. What is the relationship? This is a beautiful way to end Shir, I think, I hope. What is the difference? This is from Avos de Rabbi Nasan. What is the difference between chacham and yirei chet? What is the difference between a wise person and a God-fearing? No, what is the relationship between wisdom and God-fearing? Hareza uman uchli uman tobiado. This is the craftsman and the trade of his craft in his hand. The tools of his craft, sorry. Chachma, a chacham, is the craftsman. The tool of his trade is Yirah Shamayim. So how do you access, how do you mine, how do you cultivate chachma? Using the tool of your trade. What's the tool of the trade? Wisdom. One second. Oh, so what happened? So the person who, just to give you the PS, the same thing happened to her. So how did she deal with that? If she's not Michal, she didn't care, she wasn't upset in the first place, but for me it was an Isayin. Different Isayin for different people. Okay. It was strange because she didn't renew her subscription. And yesterday I got a magazine delivered that all got wet. But the day before, when I went shopping, I bought the Mishpacha. So Hashem orchestrated that I would have a new magazine without me realizing it. So the delivery came, but Hashem prepares the refuah before the macha. Even before the delivery came and it got all wet, she had bought herself a new one. Okay, I'm going to repeat it. Someone just asked me to repeat the last line, and with that, we'll finish here. Chacham v'yirei chet, from Avos de Rabbi Nasan. You have a wise, you have wisdom, and God-fearing. What's the connection between wisdom and God-fearing? Hareza uman uchali uman tobiado. Wisdom is the uman. Wisdom is the tradesman, the craftsman. And the yirei chet, the fear of sin, is the tool of his trade in his hand. So you want to be a true yirei shamayim. The way to do that is to grab the tool of, very cute, can I know her? Is to have the yirei shamayim to perceive God. So today is the English 9/11. This is how we began share. If you missed the beginning, please go listen to YU Torah. It's important. Tomorrow, tonight, Shabbos Kodesh. Tomorrow, 23 Elo is a yurtzeit of 9/11. Tei Zichron Baruch. And we daven for the day when the whole world should be filled. Mala Arz Dei Hashem, Kamayim Yam Mechasim. The whole world should be filled with the knowledge of God. With Yira Shemayim, we should revere the Almighty. We should see the Almighty. And should be zochah to the ultimate day. V'haya Bayam Hahu Yasham Echad. Ushmo Echad, on that great day, Hashem will be one. His name will be one. I wish everybody good Shabbos and a kasiva lechasima tova. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you.